kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. And remember the Alamo. We're going to talk about Santa Ana a little bit and that kind of stuff. There's a correlation here. Don't know if we'll get into it. And, you know, speaking of stuff from the Wayback Machine, I want to play the Alan Watt clip maybe here in a minute. But I think Mark Anderson on the American Free Press broadcast talked about the Santa Ana stuff way back when. Maybe I can dig that up too from a million years ago. But for now, the Toynbee quote, and who was Arnold J. Toynbee? Very influential guy, kind of the, you know, one of the leading thinkers of the Rhodes Milner roundtable groups. They weren't terribly creative, very Machiavellian, though, think in ways that the rest of the world doesn't, and therefore kind of get one over on people, and always, you know, getting one over on people before they realize what's going on. We're sort of, it's that scene from Stripes that I mentioned from time to time. Dewey Oxberger, John Candy's character, playing cards, playing poker with his buddy, and saying, "Isn't this fun?" While he's taking advantage of him, you know, what do you have? You know, what are you going to do? I don't know. Should I, you know, should I go all in? Should I fold? And Dewey Oxberger says, "Well, show me what you got. You know, I'm a risk taker. I'd go all in." And so, you know, obviously takes the guy's money and says, "But you know, you're learning how to play. Isn't this fun?" That's how it works. But it's the stakes are much higher. It's more like, you know, that scene from Hannibal. Anthony Hopkins feeding Ray Liotta his own brain. Isn't this fun? And the same goes for the people, most of the people who work at these agencies. Quite frankly, you know deep down in your soul, in your heart of hearts, that what you're doing is evil. You're not doing a good thing. How do we know? Because countless books have been written about it. You know, one of the best, I think, is Jonathan Quitney's Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World. And the CIA is ultimately masters of chaos, orchestrating chaos, the agents of chaos. That's really what it is. So Toynbee, you can see the quote, a truncated, sort of abridged quote over at WikiQuote. Under the trend of international affairs since the war, 1931, the Copenhagen Address. And it concludes, "And all the time we are denying with our lips what we are doing with our hands. Ellipsis. But what came after the ellipsis, actually?" Well, let me back up a little bit and read you the full paragraph. Toynbee said, "In the world," and he had a flair for using churchy language, religious language that was very Genesis 11, very Western, esoteric, very New Age, theosophical in nature. It was, you know, it's kind of the 2.0 version of that, the God words, you know, as Greg Fraser would put it, of our founding fathers. So that's a different discussion. Anyway, Toynbee said, in the world as it is today, this institution, this thing that he's describing can hardly be a universal church. It's back to Genesis 11. What is it, though? We can't call it a church. It's more likely to be something like a League of Nations. They hadn't quite rebooted from that. They officially, they were in the process of that, but hadn't quite rebooted in 1931. It's more likely to be something like a League of Nations. I will not prophesy. I will merely repeat that we are at present working discreetly. Listen to this. And you have to understand, these are people who control the wealth of the world. The wealth of the world, that was in, Cecil Rhodes' bequeathment to the world, essentially. Let's amalgamate and agglomerate the wealth of all the world so that we can put it to very precise and purposeful use for our own ends. Which are what? To create this thing that Toynbee's talking about. So these are folks, for example, that, you're talking about, he's essentially running in the circles of families who own the central banks. So when he says we are at present working discreetly but with all our might, the might is considerable. In all of the Machiavellian intrigue you can possibly imagine and then some. Anyway, so he says, I will merely repeat that we are at present working discreetly but with all our might to wrest this mysterious political force called sovereignty out of the clutches of the local national states of our world. Hello, America. And all the time we are denying with our lips what we are doing with our hands, because this is after the ellipsis, because to impugn the sovereignty of the local national states of the world is still a heresy for which a statesman or a publicist, the Bernaysian types, can be perhaps not quite burned at the stake, but certainly ostracized and discredited. The dragon of local sovereignty, this is the opposite of reality. It's the inversion of reality. It's actually them that are the dragon or working for the dragon, trying to wrest the idea of sovereignty and autonomy from, the brave knight in shining armor, basically. Anyway, the dragon of local sovereignty can still use its teeth and claws when it is brought to bay. Nevertheless, I believe that the monster is doomed to perish by our sword. The 50 or 60 local states of the world will no doubt survive as administrative conveniences. But sooner or later, sovereignty will depart from them. Sovereignty will cease, in fact, if not in name, to be a local affair. Is any of that ringing a bell over the last 100 years? And then he goes on and basically he says, if you want to survive. And it's the, it reminds me of the stabbing scene from Saving Private Ryan. If you want to survive, this is how you can do it. You can maintain the local vernacular language, folklore, and costume, the local monuments of the historic past. So long as the local state is not stripped of these harmless trappings, it will remain almost as effective as an idol as ever. And its worshippers are likely to find almost as much satisfaction in carrying on the cult with bloodless sacrifices as they find today when their idol demands from them the sacrifice of their children's lives in the ritual of war. Isn't that interesting? Here then is some consolation for local patriots in the event of sovereignty being transferred by a voluntary and peaceable process from local states to some organ representing human society as a whole. And there is also satisfaction here for those of us who, without sharing the local patriot's passion for local sovereignty, appreciate at least as deeply as he does the value for mankind of an abiding diversity of national cultures. So you can keep some of your cultural artifacts. This is the Hellenistic process, which, by the way, Toynbee wrote about also. Anyway, in the interest of time, I want to give you the excerpt from Alan Watts' talk, and that's Alan Watt apostrophe S, for those who don't know But wonder if we can do that. Alan Watt on the Dee Amberly show from the beginning, because Alan Watt introduces it. But from November 16, 2006, you remember Dee Amberly? She used to be on RBN. Anyway, can we do that, please?
Hi, this is Alan Watt. It's November 17th, 2006. And this upcoming show was just broadcast. And it was kind of different, a little bizarre, but it's very good as well to show many of the listeners what I've been talking about all this time. You cannot have the blind leading the blind. And for 100 years or more, the big establishment that runs the system decided to give us the New Age movement. And they said they would mix it. Blavatsky said this, and so did Albert Pike, that the church would be used in the West and the schools, universities, to bring in the New World Order. And here's a good example coming up of the intermingling of the New Age with its spiritualism, its sort of dreamland-type phenomena, Bigfoot, everything, Planet X, all wrapped into the same mishmash, and to create a form of confusion where the host himself, the only way out is something outside of human involvement. They're looking for a savior complex, even if it's a Planet X. And this has all been manufactured by the big scientific establishments that deal with the mind. So upcoming, you'll hear just about everything that's been put out there in the New Age, all wrapped up into the strange, like, semi-Christian, fatalist almost religion, mixed with DNA, space aliens, and on we go. A beautiful example. And that's what we're up against today. It isn't that they're bad people. It's just that they've fallen for the whole spiel, the whole propaganda spiel of the fantastic. They've fallen for it all. And because of that, they can't see clearly, and they certainly cannot think clearly. But it, again, all of this was forecast back in the 1800s by people like Albert Pike. And they have done it. They've been successful. People have been indoctrinated into all of this, thinking that they'd pick the books themselves, and the books all appear on the shelves with all this amazing information and fantastic stuff. But in reality, and they never question why they all appear on the shelf at the same time, who authorized them, who promoted them, who funded them. The culture is given to the people, and so people perish. All the best. Listen.
Welcome. This is the Dee Amberly Show, and I'm John, your host, on truthradio.com. Deanne also has the international Riddell International Radio System, and she's also on RBN Live Saturdays from 10 p.m. to midnight Central Time. She's on Truth Radio here from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. If you want to get a hold of Deanne, her phone number is 847-594-1620. And you can email Deanne at danne.burley@gmail.com. Today, hopefully, we're going to be talking about British law and U.S. law in its association. The speaker is Mark Adams, I believe, and I'm hopefully Mark is with us. Are you here, Mark?
This is Alan Watt. I don't know who Mark Adams is.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong name here. Okay, L. Watts. I'm sorry. Yes, it is L. Watts. Mm-hmm. It's my fault. This is my notes that I'm scribbling and not reading my own writing.
Okay.
Very good. I'm sorry about that, Al. So anyhow, I'm going to let Al speak here, and if I can interject something, I'll probably be learning as much as you will be. So enjoy.
Well, basically, there's no real mystery about it. apart from the fact that even Franklin mentioned that the U.S. system would be based on the British style of law. In fact, he praised it, the legal system coming from Britain. But you'll find that the British Empire kept going after the American Revolution. And, of course, they kept trying to get the U.S. back in, and it wasn't really until the late 1800s that Cecil Rhodes and Lord Rothschild, under the auspices of the British Crown, in other words, they were given a warrant to do this, a charter, set up the Rhodes Trust, and also to train people for a globalistic system based on the British system and headquartered from Britain, with a branch, another secondary branch in the United States called the Council on Foreign Relations. That's what it turned into. And so the Rhodes Commission joined with the Milner, Lord Milner's Commission, and the Round Table Society to form a system through banking, the legal system, and culture creation to basically get the U.S. and Britain to give a culture to the world for a globalist system. And out of that came the League of Nations to bring in a world government. And then, of course, it transformed into the United Nations. We're on a fast track now to finish off the last outpost that happened to come under the central banking system and the same kind of legal system, which must go hand in hand in a global society. And that's the war in the Middle East, of course. Once that's over, they'll have their perfect little new world order. And that's what it's all about. It's well documented in so many books in history and used to be taught in the schools in Britain. All of this stuff that I'm talking about. So I'm surprised that people don't realize that while they've been entertained for the last 50, 60 years, their system has been transformed so much that their great-grandparents would never, ever recognize it today.
I've been aware of like the CED reports of the Committee for Economic Development, which is the CFR's published documentation. And in my avenue of farming, they've actually coerced the changing of people being on the farm to bringing them to the villages and shutting down the farms. Mm-hmm. And there's been no laws behind it. It's just that it's their whim of what they want to do, and they create it.
And it's not just a whim. It's an actual system. See, this is the thing. This is a system which is run alongside your legal system, sometimes intertwining with it. But it's like a super government scattered all throughout society through organizations, NGOs. And that is exactly what the Cecil Rhodes Foundation said they would do. And even all the other foundations that sprung up, all coming from the same center, basically, that they would fund NGOs, which would, and heavily fund them too.
Could you explain NGOs for the public?
It's a non-governmental organization. The Soviet system was based on non-governmental organizations. The only difference being that the Soviet government appointed the head of the groups who pretended then to speak on behalf of the public and demand from the government certain laws, certain changes, etc. Well, that's what we run on today. We have the powerful NGO groups in the U.S., Canada, and all the Commonwealth countries of Britain, funded by about a dozen major foundations, with massive offices too, pretending they're grassroots organizations speaking for the public, but they're really being directed by the big foundation heads.
Geez, we just went into a meeting where they're trying to put on a power system in our area of high power lines, which is detrimental to our ecology and also of our own health. And when it gets said and done, we handed them information of free energy and how this is all going to impact us and everything. And basically, they're throwing up a couple walls of this generalization of the seven rule and this definition of it and that kind of thing. And they're saying that they're all against it. And when it got said and done, we handed five senators the information showing how it was all coerced in a big lie. And then they had a secondary meeting come up behind it. And at a secondary meeting, we restated our issue and basically showed how it was fraudulent and everything else and what they were doing. And after we got all said, done, and talking, one of the people in the background from Cornell University yells right out from the speaker's board, "Well, we're on your side." And it was a complete lie. But they threw that interjection of mind control in there to say that they were on our side and trying to twist this around when it was
that's their policy. One of the major figures going back even to the 30s and 40s in Britain, the trained Rhodes Board Scholarship was Arnold Toynbee. He trained the Rhodes Scholars from the U.S. to go back to the U.S. and go into government and the federal bureaucracies. And Toynbee stated at the 1930 meeting, the globalist meeting, it was an international, basically communist meeting held in Denmark at the time. He stated, "We always deny with our lips that which we do with our hands. That's standard policy." So you're right, that's the technique that they use. They simply deny it, you know, or pretend that they're on your side.
Well,
there you go. Boom. So, you know, there's obviously a deeper connection. I don't know how far down the rabbit hole I want to go on this, but, you know, it's interesting when it comes to training of special operations folks, you know, on the Tier 1 community especially, how closely British involvement usually is. It's sort of peripheral, but sort of not. Guiding and steering, you know, the British Foreign Office has always been around. The British Security Coordination, the BSC, was there in the early days, speaking of the CIA, the creation of Army Intelligence, the OSS, and the resurrection of the CIA out of the ashes of the OSS, you know, in the post-National Security Act era, 1947 National Security Act era, the National Military Establishment, the NME. I think that was an honest acronym, the enemy. Now it's the military-industrial complex, so that's much sexier. Jeanette Conant wrote The Irregulars, Roald Dahl, and the British Spying in Wartime Washington. And I, when that book was published, I talked about it quite a bit. And Jeanette Conant is not just anybody. She's not just somebody whistling Dixie. Her husband is Steve Croft, 60 Minutes Steve Croft, who interviewed George Soros when he said, you know, when Steve Croft asked, "So, you know, you're stealing personal property from your fellow Hungarian Jews and loading them onto the trains and shipping them off. You know, does that ever keep you up at night?" And Soros chuckles and says, not at all. You know, markets, you know, if I wasn't there doing it, somebody else would have been doing it, which is the evil lie. It's kind of like the Nuremberg defense. You know, that's akin to the Nuremberg defense where we were just following orders. In this case, well, if I wasn't doing it, someone else would have been doing it. But does that defense work ever in real life? Well, if I wouldn't have murdered that person, somebody surely would have, because, you know. So anyway, Jeanette Conant is married to Steve Croft, and she's the granddaughter of James Bryant Conant, who was the Harvard guy John Taylor Gatto talked about when he was talking about the six purposes of schooling. Alexander James Engels and so on. So I guess if you're not familiar with that discussion, you know, you can sort of dive down that rabbit hole, starting perhaps with John Taylor Gatto's Six Purposes of Schooling, then maybe bounce over to James Bryant Conant's Wikipedia entry, for example. You get a flavor. And, you know, again, I mean, the further down this rabbit hole you go, the closer you get to those roundtable groups and the steering that Alan Watt is talking about. Always that. I thought we separated from the British at one point in America. We don't know our history. How many young people do you think remember that and take it seriously? Anyway, back to the subject matter at hand. The CIA World Factbook lists 68 terrorist groups designated by the State Department, U.S. State Department, as foreign terrorist organizations, FTOs, as well as an additional 10 non-designated self-proclaimed branches and affiliates of the Islamic State of Iraq and Ash-Sham, ISIS, FTO, including numerous references to Al-Qaeda. And so this is interesting. Most of that was a direct quote from the page. CIA, World Factbook, terrorist organizations page. You know what I don't see in the CIA FTO list, the foreign terrorist organizations list? I don't see Operation Cyclone. You know, they have that fancy page, for example. Where is that? On the front lines, CIA in Afghanistan. From the Legacy Museum exhibit. Anyway, you know what I don't see? I don't see Operation Cyclone, and guess what else I don't see? I don't see 9/11 relating to Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, UBL as they say, or Osama bin Laden. Similarly, you may recall bin Laden was never wanted by the FBI in connection with the events of September 11, 2001. Do you remember that? It was the 1998 embassy bombing that the FBI listed. So here's a funny little thing. Let me go to the page real quick in the moments here before we jump off in this segment. I think, where am I here? Al-Qaeda. History. Formed under Osama bin Laden, UBL, circa 1988, now one of the largest and longest operating jihadist organizations in the world, helped finance, recruit, transport, and train fighters for Afghan resistance against the former Soviet Union in the 1980s. What did Brzezinski say about that? What did Zbigniew say about that? We should play that video clip of him on the Khyber Pass. Your cause will succeed because you're right and God is on your side. Speaking of former FBI agent turned whistleblower Kyle Serafin, he said basically the same thing at the Nez Perce County Republican Central Committee Lincoln Day dinner recently. Your cause will succeed. I'm just saying, you got to pay attention when you see, you know, pattern recognition is a real thing. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Let's see, maybe one more clip. Why not? Because we can. So I have a playlist. Probably shouldn't even mention this because things have a way of disappearing. I will give you evidence of that, case in point. So the playlist on the Road Warrior Radio YouTube channel titled Operation Cyclone, Mujahideen, Al-Qaeda, and Taliban et al. And originally there were 58 videos in that playlist. Now, for some reason or other, 24 of those videos are unavailable or hidden. Do you think that's strange? I'm sure it's just because, you know, those all those videos were violating terms of service, terms of use on the YouTube platform. They were clearly probably, you know, evil, pornographic, or who knows what in the Operation Cyclone playlist. I've had entire playlists get disappeared. Anyway, so there's the God is on your side deal. Maybe we'll play that and then we'll go to the phones. What I don't see on the CIA website is Operation Cyclone, any reference to 9/11 regarding Osama bin Laden. Do you remember this story? This one, whenever this subject arises, and why is this important? Because this is, you know, again, the CIA has the terrorist organizations page in the World Factbook listing 68 of these organizations, many of which have direct references to Al-Qaeda. Why do you say Al-CIA? Well, go to the Wikipedia entry for Operation Cyclone and read that the CIA, this was, you know, Operation Cyclone was a CIA operation to create the Afghan Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have proof of that? Yeah, go to the terrorist organization's World Factbook and look at all the organizations with ties to Al-Qaeda, linked to Al-Qaeda, joined a coalition, part of Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, AQIM, but split from AQIM in 2012 over leadership disputes, joined a coalition of Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups operating in the Sahel region known as Jamaat Nusra al-Islam wal Muslimin, which reminds me of Philip B. Haney's work, See Something, Say Nothing, the two great purges that he talked about in Congress. Somebody should say something. Yeah, people have. Guys like Philip B. Haney, one of the original DHS guys, prided himself in doing a great job and had the whole thing laid bare. Here it is, ferreted it out. All these groups with, you know, all of the things that the CIA says, you know, these are the terrorist organizations. The overwhelming majority have ties to Al-Qaeda or were incubated out of Al-Qaeda, which was, you know, they don't talk about the Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. So here are some links for those who don't know. The things that you don't see that you probably need to know. The Fox News report, December 26, 2001, report, Bin Laden already dead. That's never been taken down from Fox News. It's still there. Contrary to what we heard in 2011 and all of the ridiculous stories of guys like Rob O'Neill and all of the other technique of infamy stuff, inventing two lies. How about Norm Dixon's article over at Green Left, 9/18/2001, how the CIA created Osama bin Laden. You know, why not play the Gary Webb clip? Can we? Well, let's do that too. We might as well. It's 1 minute, you know, and then we'll go to the phones. And while this is queuing up, I will mention a couple of other resources that most people don't know about, but everyone should know about. It should be common knowledge. There's a Gary Webb deal. Gary Webb on C-SPAN's Washington Journal back in 1998, commenting on this guy, Osama bin Laden. And for that matter, we could play, you know, Bill Cooper, June 28, 2001. Some guy in a cave and the world's greatest intelligence apparatus can't find him, but some CNN guy with a camera crew interviews him in a cave. Anyway, the Counterpunch article, 1998, how Jimmy Carter and I started the Mujahideen. What really happened? There you go. Compliments of William Bloom's translation. Robin Cook's article, The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means, is essential reading. There are other things, but that's a good start. Gary Webb on Osama bin Laden. Can we do that, please?
There's a story on the front page below the fold in the Washington edition of the LA Times that profiles the Saudi dissident who you referred to, Osama bin Laden. He is, his father had 52 children from a number of different wives. He is worth several hundred million dollars, according to Robin Wright, who wrote the piece for the LA Times. And she profiles how he turned against the Americans essentially as a result of Operation Desert Storm in 1990.
Well, you know, there was a very interesting book written a couple of years ago by a journalist named Jonathan Quitney. It was called Endless Enemies. And his theory was that the United States foreign policy simply creates enemies wherever we go. And I think this is another example. When we intervene in the affairs of other countries and we shoot at people and people get shot at with American bullets and American weapons, we create enemies. And if this is true, that this man turned against the United States government as a result of Desert Storm, we've created another enemy there we might not have had before.
Funny how that works.
Fresh and
endless enemies. A couple of other essential resources among the many, many essential resources in this space. The PBS series, the Frontline series, Saudi Time Bomb, that was published 11 of 2001, November of 2001. And then their series, Saudi Arabia series, the video, it was at least 8. I think it was more than that. Now it's down to 5. Same thing, getting whittled down. The playlist is titled Saudi Arabia, Frontline PBS official YouTube channel. The video is titled Inside the Awkward U.S.-Saudi Alliance Against ISIS. So, if you're not familiar with any of that, then check it out and be amazed. Be very amazed. To the phones we go. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, Chris, you there? This
Good morning, Renee.
Was a fabulous show. I needed that, okay, because the compilation of the clips that you have played, it brought me back to the old days of alternative conservative radio before it turned into just like 100% everything is the Jews' fault. When I'm sorry, I think I know too many good ones. I'm just not going to do that tribalistic, jingoistic, it's the others that are different than me stuff. There are good and bad people in all races. And,
Amen.
You know, these clips were fabulous. In fact, I heard a clip of Chris Hedges say recently, these empires never forget. And I thought, and see, that is true. And I believe, like a lot of the clips with Alan Watts and stuff say, you see, we're like the colony that got away. And Britain, like one of those clips said, their empire continued. And I don't think they ever gave up on trying to get the colonists who got away back. Okay?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in some ways, when you think about it, we to them are kind of like what Haiti was to France. Okay.
And there's an irony in that, actually. There's an irony in that because in that very speech that Toynbee gave at Copenhagen in 1931, he actually says, you know, we need to go out and propagandize the Americans and do these exchange things. But he says the Americans, he tries to spur us back to our revolutionary roots and basically sort of turn that in on itself or weaponize us against ourselves without getting into the details. There's a cruel irony in his remarks there. Anyway.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, all these people that, we had to fight them British for our freedom, it's like, have turned into the biggest Anglophiles who, you know, it's like, excuse me, there's some cognitive dissonance here where y'all think they're just the greatest thing ever, but then you had to fight those same people for your freedom. And from what we can understand, they never forgave you for it. And they were working, as many of the clips that you have played, to get us back. And it's mind-boggling to me to have to listen to these people and hear what it's turned into.
Yeah, and not just to get us back, but in the same fashion that the British intrigue has played off other countries against each other, you know, the Balkans in particular and so forth, we are that weapon at this point, and we don't even, apparently most people don't even see it.
Exactly. Really, we're being used. Years ago, they would say that, you know, they used to say stuff like that, you know, but it's like a lot of that has disappeared. In many ways, we're the ones that are being used as the strong arm to carry all this out for what I think is essentially British Empire. And then I have to listen to all these people thinking everything British is just so wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like they're a monarchy, you jackasses. If you want to say it's like, you know, so look, you know what? And they always want brown people or somebody else to go back to their country. Look, to me, that's how you feel. Maybe all you need to take a boat back to King Charles. I'm sorry. These people get on my nerves so bad. I wish I had a magic wand. Without hurting them, I could kind of make all the Jews and brown people like disappear for a month. And all of a sudden I have to go, oh shoot, we still have problems here.
I guess
here.
We still have problems. What happened?
Yeah, it's like, what happened? We thought that would fix everything. So, Chris, I'm telling you, I tell you what, the compilation of clips that you played today did my soul so much good, because some of this stuff that I have listened to, well, that's why I quit listening for so long. I did. Because I just couldn't take all this Trump stuff. And I probably shouldn't start that, but it's like, what happened to the needle on a person's moral compass where they can ignore how he, the reason he couldn't get anybody to underwrite a loan for this money, that his own lawyers admit they tried with like 30 underwriters and they got laughed off, is because he doesn't pay his bills, okay? He's been cheating in line for years, and it's like, I just, it's like these people who want to claim they have the morality and family values for this man who was a serial adulterer, didn't pay his bills, is a pathological liar. The two times he did tell the truth is why the establishment's hacked at him. When he admitted, well, you know, we kill people too. And the time he's like, well, yeah, we need to, you know, he admits we're going to these countries because we want to steal the oil. Those are the two times he was the most truthful, and that's because he spoke the truth out loud, and that's what the establishment hates him for. But the thing is, I just, in good conscience, and God knows some people, oh, she must support, but no, the lesser of two evils, still evil. Both of these men are horrible. I think the duopoly must be broken. I'm extremely disappointed in RFK, though.
Yeah. Corporately, it's an oligopoly, and as George Galloway, I think he gets credit for saying, it's two cheeks of the same backside.
Yeah. It's like, it has to be broken. Now, I don't know. I did get an email. I don't know, okay? But I suspect, see, to me, the person most deserving because of his consistency on having the moral courage, and he does not waver. RFK, I might have overlooked the whole Israel thing because Jesse Ventura will not compromise his values. So he was unacceptable probably there. Was like say if he would have picked Ventura, I would have maybe backed him. Okay, but he didn't, and he went for the money. You know,
Jacob Hornberger is an interesting candidate to hearken back to principled and unbending unyielding, principled stance, libertarian candidate for president. We got other calls stacking up.
Okay.
We got to run. Thank you, Renee. Much appreciated, as always.
Okay. Bye.
Back to the phones. Mindset in New York. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, yes. So, I'm just calling in regards to basically the ship or whatever that's been the thing that happened there. I see that basically what happened with Russia a couple days before that, the whole Moscow incident, like it's America, the way that America's been in the UK empire, for them to be attacked and all that is like completely understandable. And China, Russia, it doesn't matter. Like the fact is that America and the West, if they don't bow down and stop the bullshit, like this fucking bitch shows just on.
Okay, we're done, and off he goes. We're skipping the break, right? Anyway, okay. And that was a waste of time. Back to the phones, James in Vancouver. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh yes, good morning.
Morning,
that guy is using that foul language on purpose to have your radio station removed by the federales. So
yep, the FCC needs
does
to
that
step
on
in.
All kinds of programs.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's not bad that people hang themselves with their own rope.
Well, his accent is Eastern European, let's put it that way.
Let me just say that if you are a coward who calls in and threatens the board operator, I don't know, get in touch with me. I'd be glad to meet you somewhere and we can talk about it. Don't ever call this network and threaten the board operators, especially a woman.
Well,
What kind of coward are you? That's enough. Anyway, continue, sir. Seriously, who does that?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm what do you call it? Law and order every time. Yeah. So, I've been accused of using.
Mine was a reference from Tombstone. Anyway, we got lots of other callers, so.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go, and you. I'll get back to you tomorrow. How's that?
Sounds good.
All righty. Bye now.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Yep,
as always, back to the phones. Joe in Alaska, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Great show, Chris.
Morning, sir.
I heard you mention, I'm going to have to download this one and save it. But not because I'm on here, but you mentioned Janet Connett.
Jeanette
are you
Conant,
familiar
yeah.
with it? Are you familiar with a book she wrote called Tuxedo Park, The Secret Palace of Science?
No, I have not read that one yet. No. Nope.
Well, it's about Alfred Loomis, who was Stimson's protege up in upstate New York. There is a place called Tuxedo Park.
Yeah.
And... yeah, he had a secret palace of science. At any rate, there's also a really rare science fiction book written by one of his scientists there named Richards, who died mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the science fiction book is called Brainwaves and Death, because Alfred Loomis was studying brainwaves. And as far as I know, he was the first one to delve into that science of the brain. Anyway. I think it'd be really interesting. Well, I have a copy of that book, Brainwaves and Death, and I paid too much money for it. But anyway, I'll have to look up the other books you mentioned that she wrote after I download this show today.
Right on.
I just wanted to bring it up and see how that fits into your subject today. And carry on. Love your show.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. Well,
all right. Have a nice day. Bye.
Entertaining at the end here, if nothing else. Back to the phones. Scott in Nevada, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, good afternoon, I think. Oh, good morning.
Yes,
hey, good show, and I liked all that stuff about the UK and our dear British cousins. But here's what I was thinking. So prior to the American Revolution, the sovereignty was held in a person, like a king, queen, prince, you know, priest or something like that. So Chisholm versus Georgia is a Supreme Court case, 1793, and it lays it out. And here's the best quote. At the Revolution, the sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of the country, but they are sovereigns without subjects and have none to govern but themselves. The citizens of America are equal as fellow citizens and as joint tenants in the sovereignty. I've only got a minute here, so this is Chisholm versus Georgia, 1793. So the practical use of this, I've seen this happen. You put in a motion under Amendment Number 6 to be informed of the nature and character of the charges against you, and you say, I am a joint tenant in the sovereignty. Who are you, and by what authority are you bringing these charges? They will empty and seal the courtroom, and then they have a series of questions. 22 last time I checked. And it starts out, do you have a driver's license? Are you registered to vote? Do you have a bank account? Right down the line. And if you say yes to anything, you're done. If you just say no without explanation, straight down the line, I am aware, of course, of cases just being dismissed. But there's nobody else in the courtroom. Okay. Anyway, that was good. Hey, have you seen the cover art for The Economist from 2012? Showing the hang glider, motorized hang gliders with machine guns attacking Israel.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Okay, Chris, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Is it a coincidence that you sound just like Bruce Ray Riggs to me?
Who?
Bruce Ray Riggs.
Don't know him. Or her. Yeah, don't know him.
Yeah, it's very curious. That's very interesting. It's a mental
I'll
thing.
Try to look.
We're at the... Yeah, that'll take us out.
Well, is it my voice intonation or what?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And the subject
Bruce?
Matter and your expertise. Anyway, I appreciate
Bruce?
The call,
Bruce,
Scott.
Okay, Chris. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Interesting stuff. And like I said, you know, if you're somebody who wants to do what happened earlier, you are a coward, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know what? I didn't pray today. That was the problem. Didn't pray. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, and that kind of stuff in high places. There you go. See? That's what happens when you don't pray. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. NASSecret.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.